The scripture lesson takes us through good times and bad, starting with people looking at the temple and its beauty and just being awestruck, how gorgeous it is, and moving on to Jesus saying, all of that's beautiful, but it doesn't last. It's transient. It will be destroyed. And other destruction is coming, and persecution and hardship. And there will be times when to speak about God's love, as I've taught you, will gain you hatred from others. When staying faithful to me will put a price on your head. But by your faithfulness, by your endurance, and keeping the focus, keeping bound to me, by your perseverance, you will gain your souls, huh? We will. Not that we're not going to have hard times, not that there's going to be pain-free living. Even says some of you will be put to death, but you won't perish. You won't lose that gift of salvation that I give to you. When you keep focused, when you cling to Jesus. As I read through the scriptures, I thought of the metaphor that's often used of the flow of history, the flow of our lives, the flow of the culture around us. We have that image of the stream, the waters flowing and carrying along in its current. All the history flowing along. And Jesus is saying, don't get lost in that current. You see, keep your focus, cling to Jesus, people, so that as we move through the history, we can accomplish God's purposes. As we acknowledge at the close of our worship each week, God is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine. But that is when we keep our focus on the mission and ministry, when we keep our focus, when we cling to Jesus and don't get distracted. I am a person who learns best by getting my whole body involved. It's called a kinesthetic learner. I learn best by involving my whole body. I can learn in other ways. I can learn through reading textbooks. I can learn through having people talk to me and tell me the stories. But when I get in and do it, that's when I really start to understand the teachings. So a few years back, my family and I vacationed in August in Pennsylvania, in the Poconos. And we were very near the Delaware River, and as we were packing, see, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 4 years, going to seminary, and summers are very hot and muggy on the East Coast. This is actually why Congress adjourns in the summer, because that was started before they had air conditioning, and you really couldn't function well. It was just too hot and muggy. So they'd adjourn and they go to more pleasant places and then they come back to do their business later. So we were heading there and I said to my family, okay, well, you don't need to pack warm clothing because it's plenty warm. It doesn't even really cool off at night. It's warm and muggy. And so we traveled to the Poconos. But don't you know, this year that we traveled there was unusual and it was cool and rained the whole time. So imagine our experience here in California. Imagine a big river in August, right? A lot of river bank and just a little bit of water left, right? Well, when we got to the Poconos, our cabin was pretty near where the Delaware River was, and the water not only had not receded at all, but was actually above the ordinary level to where the tree trunks and the branches were actually in the river now. But we watched the river nearby, and we saw that there was an adventure that we could take, where you pay your money, they take you upstream in a bus, and they give you a life jacket and a canoe and some paddles, and you come downstream and you get out right there at the right near where our cabin was. And we said, oh, that would be really fun. Let's do that. And so we made our reservation to do that. Now, one thing you need to understand, it's me, my husband, and our two kids. One of the reasons that Juan and I have been able to be married low these many years is because we both have very strong personalities, which allows us and to build with great strength, lift each other up, and we nurture each other in ways that somebody with not as strong a personality would not be able to do. Euphemistically saying that we can have some heated debates. So, we got there, we got off the bus, they gave us all our life jackets, they showed us our canoes, they told us about the river. The river flows thusly, and here's an island, and here's an island, and what you want to do is you want to get on the left side of the island, so you want to flowing down. Basically, the reason was because powerboats come up the center part, and you don't want to have your canoe there in case a powerboat comes by and you're in the way. That could be a bad thing. So you want to kind of get off to the left side there. The currents aren't quite as strong, and it's more pleasant, and you aren't in danger. But we start out on the right side of the riverbank, headed down. We were on the west, headed south. So we got to go across the river to the east side and of the river and head downstream. So we get into the boat, Juan and I and the two kids, and we push away from the shore and we begin our trek downstream. And, you know, one of us says, okay, put your oars in and paddle thusly. And the other one says, no, that's not how you do it. You need to do it this other way. And we need to point it this way. No, you don't need to do it like, oh my gosh, we bickered the whole entire way down. We never got where we were supposed to be, ever. We never made it to the eastern bank. We stayed in the right smack in the danger zone, floating down, bickering the whole entire time. The good news is we did manage to get out at the appropriate spot. And the kids looked at us and, you know, basically said, please don't ever take us on a trip like this again. And it wasn't fun for anybody, and we didn't do what we were supposed to do, and it wasn't a pleasant outing. Why do I tell you this story? Because churches can do this too. When we lose our vision for what it is that Jesus has called us to do, and how it is that Jesus has called us to interact with one another, when we lose that vision, we get swept along by the currents of history and culture, and we totally miss the point of the mission and ministry that God has called us to be doing, that the world hungers, is desperate for us to be doing, sharing the love, the forgiveness, and the peace that only Jesus has to offer. Some examples. Probably most of you somewhere along the line in your life have seen a historical movie in which there were monks that shaved this part of their head right here. You've seen that, right? And they had like a little fringe of hair here and shaved back here. Like maybe in Robin Hood, Friar Tuck maybe would have, right? Or you've seen historical movies in which there was hair right here and they shaved everything else. You've seen that? Okay, they fought over that. There was a point in church history that was actually a very vigorous fight as to whether you should shave this part with hair growing here or grow this part with shaved up here. That was a real battle that was fought. Another battle that was fought. These are true stories. Another battle. You've seen the blessing where you put your fingers like this. You've seen, we don't do that too much, but you've seen that, right? Right? Okay, so there's that one, or there's this one. Fought over that one. Okay, because you have the two natures of Christ, and you have the Trinity, right? So you got five fingers, we got the two natures of Christ, human, fully human, fully divine, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So which comes first, the Trinity followed by the two natures of Christ, or the two natures of Christ followed by the Trinity? Fought over that one. Bloody battles. Fought over that. Right? Ridiculous. ridiculous, totally losing focus on the mission and ministry of the church. Fighting, Christians fighting each other over small things while the world hungers to experience the love of God. We look at that and we think, now that is totally ridiculous. So let's just fast forward to the present day. Present day, I will tell you honestly, I have heard stories, I don't know names, but I have heard stories that happen in this congregation. And it's not unique because this kind of thing has happened in every congregation I have served, and it is the pew versus chair battle. Now, yes, let us laugh because it's ridiculous. Do we sit on pews? Do we sit on chairs? You know, a couple hundred years, people are going to look back and go, you know, they actually fought about that. Whether you're sitting on a pew or a chair, I want you to think back in your memory to every person you've ever heard give a personal testimony about coming to salvation in Jesus Christ. Did anyone say, I came to Jesus because I sat on a pew, or I came to Jesus because the chair was comfortable? Those are the superficial things that we fight about when we lose our focus on doing the mission and ministry that God has called us to do. I've mentioned before the book by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. There's a beautiful line in there in which Screwtape, who is the senior demon, this is all fictional, you know, he made this up. Some people think he, like, I don't know, was privy. It was fictional. He made this up, but he uses this to help instruct us. So the senior demon is writing to his nephew, mentoring him in the art of stealing souls away from God. And he says, there's no need to coax them to murder when a game of cards will do the trick. Now, this is not saying playing cards is evil. What it's saying is we are so easily distracted. We are so easily distracted. God calls us in the face of persecution, in the face of calls for war and retribution. God calls us to stand up and speak out for love and forgiveness and grace. This is not a popular thing, and it's a hard thing to do when we are fighting about pews or chairs, you see. We are called to do important ministry, challenging ministry. And how can we have the strength and wisdom and insight to do this ministry if we allow ourselves to waste time fighting? I'm not just talking about having disagreements, fighting about the minor things that are involved in our life together. So how do we gain that wisdom and insight? How are we able to cling to Jesus and keep our focus pure while we're having disagreements? You see, we're going to have disagreements. We've got different perspectives. That's part of the strength of the congregation, is to have different experiences and different perspectives and different understandings, and to talk openly and honestly about these differences so that we might grow in wisdom together. We have to have differences. It's essential. How can we have those differences and move forward in ministry even when it doesn't go our way, when the vote comes down and the people didn't go with my brilliant opinion? How do we still love and respect each other and move forward in ministry? I have been inviting you to join me in the year 2011 and spending one whole year very focused on exploring spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are a means of grace, a way of experiencing God's love. But here's the rub. Oftentimes, spiritual disciplines can start out being very uncomfortable or sometimes even painful. And we say, how do you experience God's love and grace through something that is painful? Let me ask you this question. Does anybody here, maybe here or you know somebody, I bet everybody at least knows somebody, who went to the doctor and the doctor said, your carotid artery is getting plugged. You need to have a procedure done to open that up. Yes? You know somebody, or you've had that done yourself, right? Okay, you know somebody? And the procedure will be, you will come in and we're going to make a little slice in you, and we're going to slide this tube up through your veins into that area. We're going to expand it, blow it, and it's kind of going to scrub out that area. Sounds painful? Uh-huh. And we say, oh, that will hurt. I'm not going to do it. Right? Or you say, I need to do that or I will die. Okay, I'll put up with the pain. I'll put up with the pain so that we can clear out the things that are impeding the blood flow so that I can have a full and good life. Right? Yes, that's what we say. Same thing with spiritual disciplines. Some of them are hard. Some of them might be uncomfortable. But in that is exposed those things that impede the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that diminish our quality of life. It's important that we practice these disciplines for the fullness of our health. We'll be having a class, probably maybe two or three classes offered, same topic, just offered at different times, so people can participate depending on how their schedule functions. We want to make it accessible. We're going to walk through that all through 2011, and I will bring it into worship so that if you don't have a chance to go to the class, you can still be involved, because it's really essential to our health as a congregation that we take seriously the spiritual disciplines, that we take seriously continuing to grow our life in Jesus Christ. Another thing, when I came to this congregation, I heard, and I will tell you, I have heard in every congregation I've been to. I came to the congregation and I hear it over and over again, Pastor, we really need to strengthen our children and youth ministries. Wonderful. Wonderful. What are we going to change in order to make that happen? Oh, well, Pastor, we were hoping you could do it by yourself. All right, we don't like change. No. No. It's something that we want in the life of our congregation. And it does mean change will have to happen. But here is a truth. In all living organisms, when change stops, the organism dies. When change stops, the organism dies. We have to change to thrive. That our ministries could be a glory to God, we have to be willing to change. Now, people say to me, Pastor, we want to strengthen our children and youth ministries. Okay, so here is our children and youth ministries, and we want to strengthen that. That means we want something different happening here. You've heard me say before, I will say it again. The system is designed for the results it is achieving. So you look at the results, and if it's what you want, then you know that everything leading up to that was done well. You look at the results, and if it's not what you want, then something in here has to change in order to get a different result. Another thing I know you've heard, and I've said it before, that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. If we keep doing the same thing over again, it's not going to change. Nothing changes because we didn't change what we're doing, right? Pastor, we want to strengthen our children and youth ministry. Okay, so what's going to change? What are we going to do differently to strengthen that? Well, here's one thing that's really, really important that I want to lift up. It is the witness that we make as adults. We have Christian education opportunities that happen somewhat sporadically. It's not a regular system. Class offerings are lifted up and they're moderately attended. We have on Sunday mornings children's education and youth education every Sunday morning, but we don't have regular adult Christian education. So what is the message we're giving to our children and youth? It's not important. You hit 18, we're done. Christian education is glorified babysitting. Once you're mature, you don't need it anymore. If we seriously want to strengthen our children and youth ministries, we as adults need to make the commitment to continue working on our Christian education, be intentional about our own Christian formation, to model for our children and youth that this is important. And it is going to require a change. It is going to require a change in us. We want, you know that old saying, do what I say and not what I do? It's never effective, is it? The children and youth see where our priorities are, and they follow that. If we want our children and youth ministry strengthened, we need to be intentional about our own spiritual growth and development. That will require change in our patterns and our behavior. And it is essential. It is one of the ways that helps us keep our focus on Jesus. Because otherwise we get so easily distracted into the unimportant, unessential aspects. There are going to be a lot of decisions that have to be made in the weeks and months and years ahead. Some exciting opportunities, some heated discussions will happen. And that's okay, as long as we continue to keep our focus on Jesus and to honor everybody as a beloved child of God, to give them respect, to love them, and to desire to work with people whose opinions are different from our own. In that, we model for the world a type of peace and a commitment and a sliver of that unconditional love that God has shared with us. But when we neglect our own spiritual growth and development, it's so easy to get distracted, to become self-centered and self-righteous, and to speak ill of one another because we have various experiences and different ideas, to become intolerant. And then, in what possible way could a church be different from everyday organizations when we engage in the same sort of bickering and backbiting? It is essential that we make a commitment to enter into the change that we desire. Sometimes, this is true, I know it from my experience as a pastor, congregation will have some good and honest and open debate and will come to a place where they recognize change needs to be made. and the vote will be taken. All in favor of making this change, say aye. And they raise their hands and say, aye. But inside, they're saying, you, because I'm out of here. And when you start making the change, they stop showing up, even though they voted for the change, because they knew the change had to happen. When they said I, they didn't mean me. They meant I, you, because I'm out of here. People, when we engage in the conversations about how change needs to be made, which changes are important, and how we can best move forward, being excellent stewards of the resources that God has given us, so that the ministries we hunger to see accomplished here can be accomplished through us far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine. How can those changes take place? I am prayerful that we will say, I, and recognize that it's I am part of this team, and I am one of the people who has to change. It may mean that this beloved pew that I have dusted with my backside for 40 years might be replaced with a chair. It may be that this beloved chair I have that is so wonderfully comfortable would be replaced with a pew. What are we really willing to change in order that God could use us well? I encourage you to be thinking about this. All of us working together. All of us making changes together. That God could use us well. That the ministries we do here would truly be a glory to God, that not only would the buildings inspire people to go, oh, that's beautiful. The God they worship must be beautiful. And they do. I have people who stop in the church office and tell me, oh, when I drive by here at night and I look at the windows, so beautiful. Not just the edifice is beautiful, but the life of the people within is a beautiful glory to God. Our work here is not just about institutional maintenance. Our church here is about being living, breathing body of Christ for the world today. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, we acknowledge that change is hard. And we acknowledge that sometimes we want to have one place that we can come that is always the same. And loving God, we ask that you would forgive us that we want that one place to be the church. And God, we ask that you would help us to have the courage to trust you enough that we will make changes in our own habits and in our life as a congregation so that the fullness of your love might be proclaimed through us, and that what we say and what we do would be a true glory to you. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.